9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag. We're going to have a great day today. I got guests in the studio, and I got a guest on the phone from Washington, D.C. And Mr. Lucas, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely, Jimmy. And with that opening, I'm always impressed with anybody that understands composting, because that's where everything ultimately winds up.
Yeah, you got it. First of all, two things for you. One, I have a guest in the studio, and it's Casey Meza, and she is a senior here at the Elk City High School, and she's in here learning to see if she wants to be on the radio or work in their communications. I was going to announce her as she was going to be your replacement, but she said that wasn't funny. So,
well, as long as she's 25, she's eligible. But she might not.
She's not, and she's got a great laugh and a good sense of humor, and she's just a happy girl. And the other thing I want to do is I apologize, I didn't get to see you at the bull sale at Cheyenne here a while back, and I was coming to the bull sale, and we got I'm calving out heifers, so you know what happened. My schedule.
You have a priority to take care of. The young ladies come first on a deal like that.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, and I had a problem that day, and we actually named that calf Larry, and he's doing well, but, man, it was a battle. But one of our local veterinarians here gave him a boost in life, and he's out in the pasture running around now. And I also going to apologize that I know Roger Mills didn't get much rain last night.
No, we did not. So, Jimmy, was it breech birth? Was it a leg turned back, head dropped down? What was the challenge with the heifer? You don't mind me asking just real quick.
It was a heifer that didn't give a crap, dropped the calf, and walked off. That's what it was.
Just attitude. All right.
Yeah, it was attitude. But
anyway. With a lot of attitude, you know, back east of D.C.
Yeah, so anyway, but, well, you got lots going on up there, and one of the things is that's working on there is China.
Yes.
Are you holding them accountable?
Doing everything I can. And for our listeners' benefit, this is one of those things where President Trump deserves much credit in his administration. He was the first president to lean hard into the Chinese and say, yeah, we're buying all this stuff from you, but you got to buy stuff from us. You can't just have a one way. And if you remember, he used the tariff laws. He used all sorts of things to reach out and get the Chinese attention early on in his administration. And part of the result was an agreement where the Chinese agreed, and I'll use phase one, agreed to buy $200 billion worth of U.S.-made goods, including not just manufactured things, but agricultural goods. So we're now coming up on the conclusion of that first trade deal. And best I can determine, the Chinese have bought about 63%, say two-thirds or less of what they committed to. I'm pushing the administration. It's now the Biden bunch at the White House, pushing them to get the Chinese to agree to live up to their commitments. Maybe we have to go back and use tariffs. Maybe we have to use import taxes. Maybe we have to do the things that President Trump did. But if the Chinese are going to sell us all their stuff, they've got to buy from us. They've got to buy our corn. They've got to buy our wheat. Yes, they can buy our natural gas and our crude oil and our coal, but they've got to buy from us. They can't just sell to us, Jimmy. They've got to buy from us, too. So we're engaged in the struggle, and I hope the Biden administration will pay as much attention to this as President Trump did, because he got it. He understood you can't just give them all your money. There's got to be some two-way on this trade stuff.
Well, we say out here in western Oklahoma, fair's fair. You know, hey, I give you a little, you give back some, and it hasn't been going on for a long time. And whether you loved him or hated him, President Trump was businesslike, and he put his foot down, and that's the way it should be.
He got the Chinese attention, Jimmy.
Yes, he did.
My time. Maybe Richard Nixon got their attention back in the 60s and 70s, but Donald Trump really made him sweat it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have agreed to buy the $200 billion worth of U.S. goods. I mean, again, I give him credit for that. Everybody has their own opinion of President Trump. But on this one, as in a number of other issues, he was spot on, and we've got to keep pushing that point.
Well, that's a good thing. And well, you stay with him. Go up there, and if you need a Brandon arm from up here, I'll come up there, and we'll go, let's go Brandon on the cattle, because it's that time of the year to work those calves. So that's what I say, let's go Brandon. And I don't mean that with the O-N. I mean that with the I-N-G. So anyway, that's the way we work around here. But you've also, man, the inflation, the chain supply issues going on, especially on the agriculture side. What's your thoughts on that going into this year?
You and I have been around long enough. We remember the last time we had this super high inflation, and that was back in the Carter administration, when literally the government was spending more money than there were goods to buy, and it set off inflation. And it wasn't just the increase in the cost of goods, but you get people expecting the cost of goods to go up every month. And there's no way that a person working for wages, there's no way someone in something like agriculture can keep up. So it becomes then a tax on us. I would argue that we, when President Trump was in office, did what was necessary with the COVID relief to keep the country from falling apart. But we'd started out of the economic mess as the new administration came in. They overdid it. The Biden people did with their COVID package in the first few months last year in 2021. And by overdid it, I mean they passed the package where literally 9% of the money would go to COVID emergency related stuff. The other 91% was just new spending. It was just greasing all of their friends out there. And that's put us in this cycle. The price of fuel and oil have increased by 35%. The stuff you buy retail, the price of fertilizer, 31% also, Jimmy, and I'm in the same shoes as my neighbors. I haven't bought any top dressing for Linda's wheat for the spring because, number one, I need some moisture to know that it will make a difference, and number two, it's a big old price. Processed feed and parts and repairs, I mean, it's all going up. So we got to get a grip on spending, no more of these wild spending packages like we had last year, and they talk about interest rates going up. Those of us in agriculture and our friends in the oil and gas business are more sensitive, and Main Street, more sensitive about interest rates because we operate on borrowed capital. We're in capital-intensive industries. I just wish the Biden folks had shown more self-restraint in early 21, but here's where we are.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're here, and I was talking to a couple of gentlemen that work hard in the agriculture industry, and one of them pointed out to me, he says, I don't know how anybody in the dry land, not irrigated, but on the dry land farming, can actually afford to do a row crop this year. It doesn't matter whether it's cotton, doesn't matter whether it's peanuts, corn, milo, how they're going to be able, in the southern plains, and I'm not talking about up in the Midwest, but I'm talking about here where we live, how anybody's going to afford to do row crops this year because of the input. Not only is it the fertilizer like you were just talking about, because this morning I got up thinking after checking the rain gauge, I said, I wonder how many guys woke up this morning and said, man, I wish I'd have fertilized yesterday if I had known it was going to rain. But it's still, the cost of it's ridiculous.
And the drought, how much damage has it done, for instance, in hard red winter wheat, how much damage has been done to the plant roots and to the plant stems?
We don't know yet.
Respond as it would normally would in an average year. I'm not sure. Our wheat at Roll looks really sad, Jimmy.
Yeah, I've been up in there, and Donnie, a friend of mine, oh, by the way, I was supposed to tell you from a gentleman that works here at the radio station with me that he says hi, and he's Freddie Athan's son. So there you go.
Absolutely.
So anyway,
Fred was between Linda and I in high school. Absolutely.
Yeah, he said to tell
you. I know more about Fred than probably his son would care to know, so we'll move on to the next subject. I think the world is
better. Yeah, well, he wanted me to tell you hi, but the input costs, you know, the cattle market seems to, it's creeping up, and I've been talking to some people. One gentleman told me this morning on the phone that he thinks that first calf heifers, pairs, in the near future because this rain will help inspire some people. But with all these people in the drought up north and out west that's got rid of a lot of cattle, he thinks that heifer pairs will be bringing $3,000 before you know it.
I don't know about that, Jimmy, but it would not surprise me because the numbers are out of balance. The weather's been so wild.
Yep.
And with the economy picking back up, the demand for not just hamburger, but steaks and roasts and all that in the grocery store, if we can keep the packing industry functioning so that we can move from live product to the grocery store counter or meat counter or to the restaurant, I think we potentially have some good days ahead of us. But it just we need things to work out just a little bit better, a little smoother, a little longer.
Yeah, it is, and things to calm down and these supply chains to get deal. But, you know, the Bayer just announced last Friday or Saturday that they had a disruption in their chain, and glyphosate, which is 5.4, you know, basically it's Roundup. There's going to be a big shortage of it, and it went from $55 or $54 to $65, and it wouldn't be surprised if it's $75 by the end of this week. But if you guys are just joining me on the show, U.S. Representative Frank Lucas is joining me and Casey on the radio here, and we got, I know you're short time today, but what about, you and I talked about it on the show last time, those federal mandates. What do you think on the vaccine? What's your thoughts going on right now?
Well, the federal courts have basically shut down President Biden's ability to order federal employees to be vaccinated, to basically order everybody to be vaccinated. The one exception the court made was in health care because they basically said so much of the health care is funded by the federal government, that falls under a different category. I'm not a lawyer, Jimmy, so I don't understand why you've got two apples and an orange in the middle, but that's the way they've handled it. Essentially, the president's been blocked from being able to order people to be vaccinated, and that's good, which is where I've always been. I believe that President Trump's efforts, a warp speed to create the vaccines that we now have access to, was the right thing to do. I believe everybody should sit down and think about what's in their best interest, their family's best interest. I've been vaccinated with three doses of Pfizer. Linda Lucas has had three doses of Moderna. But we're over 60 years of age. We fall in a lot of
look it.
But if you don't want to be vaccinated, power to you. It's your judgment, your call. But thank goodness, because of Donald Trump's efforts, we have the vaccine option if people want to do that.
Right.
If they want to do it.
Yeah, and to mandate it, especially with just picking on the federal workers, I was against that from the get-go.
Totally not fair, but if you could mandate that, then what else could you mandate? I understand why people are so sensitive about this and why I'm so happy the courts have handled most of the cases the way they have. If you can make somebody be vaccinated for this, what can you make them do tomorrow or the next day or the day after that? That's un-American. That's contrary to the way we live and believe, especially in our part of the United States.
Well, Casey has a question for you, Mr. Lucas. Do you mind answering one of her questions?
Put it on me.
What do you think will happen in the 2023 Farm Bill?
I think you will see, first off, the 23 Farm Bill will come about because the 18 Farm Bill expires after 5 years. The 18 Farm Bill came along because the bill I wrote in 2014 was about to expire. It will still be a bill that will be voluntary in nature. You won't be required to participate in any of it to grow any kind of crop or livestock. You just won't be required. That's different than the old historic supply-demand farm bills from the 1930s till 1996. It'll also be insurance-based. If you want protection from weather or wild price swings, you'll have to buy, you'll have to pick a plan, and you'll have to buy that coverage to protect yourself. It will still contain the traditional social, the traditional conservation programs, soil, water, air. It'll still be agricultural research. It'll still be farm credit. It'll still be a nutrition title. It'll be all those things. But I believe it will be an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill. If I'm in the majority, I think on the committee we'll make improvements and refinements. Nothing dramatic, but we'll go for another 5 years. If the present chairman and majority are in control, then who knows what kind of a farm bill you get. I mean, I just don't know what, if David Scott's still chairman and that side of the House is running the place, still Speaker Pelosi, I don't know what we'll get. But I am optimistic about November, and I'm optimistic that we'll continue the good things in the farm bill for another 5 years, because you got to have a safety net. I don't care what anybody who doesn't understand agriculture says. You've got to have a safety net, because between the weather and world markets and the things that that we have no control over, you got to have a safety net, because if you bust every farmer in America, who's going to feed ourselves, or for that matter, feed the world? Who's going to feed us?
It's not going to. Yeah, the farmers are the backbone of America. They might be the lowest percentage population-wise, but they're, like you just said, they feed us. They feed the world all together. Farmers and ranchers, I mean, I'm one, but all of the rest of my neighbors and people like you, you guys are my heroes, because without us, there's no meat on the shelves. And if there's not any meat on the shelves, it ain't our fault, you know. And it's out there. You got this COVID deal in the last 2 years, this pandemic is just, it's actually woke me up, you know, on what to expect. My God, they act like this when this happens. What happens when something really, really, I mean, COVID was bad, don't get me wrong, but something, a real bad disaster, you know. And so what of, were you happy with the way the Ukraine deal was handled? Because I reported a lot on it, because people really didn't realize how important Ukraine was to the world as far as agriculture and even mineral ore deposits. It's a very productive country, and were you happy with the way that was all handled?
Well, first of all, Putin says that he's pulling his military back from the borders, but the most recent accounts I've seen from U.S. intelligence and military sources in NATO, it's not really clear yet that Putin has pulled his army back. So
okay,
we've got to wait just a little longer. I would like to think he was just huffing and puffing and trying to leverage to force concessions out of the little country, the Ukraine, next to him. We'll see. Had he invaded, or does, if he still invades, then, Jimmy, it starts to bring memories of the Second World War of the 1930s back, when Hitler stomped through Poland and Czechoslovakia and all of those in the Low Countries, and ultimately attacked France and the rest of the world. I'd like to think we avoid that, but Putin, think of Russia, as one of the intelligence people on the Intelligence Committee pointed out to me one time in Congress. Think of Russia as an oil company with an army. Putin functions in Russia because he has massive oil and gas resources. That money, which is totally controlled by the government, is then used to finance his military. He'd like to have Ukraine, because it's an agricultural breadbasket for that part of Europe, and for that matter, Russia. But he'd also just like to be in control of everything and everyone around him. That's scary when you've got that mindset.
Yes, it's very scary, because, you know, I was in the military, and when they started talking about this buildup along the border in Russia and Ukraine, I wasn't thinking, you know, if we were involved, this wasn't going to be another Iraq or Afghanistan. This is going to be all-out war. This was no joke.
I do not believe we have removed our training forces from the Ukraine. Ukraine is not a part of NATO. They're not technically a military ally. We're providing with resources to try and protect themselves. I don't believe we would be engaged on the ground, but you're exactly right. This would be, if Putin invades, it will be a show of military force we've not seen since the Second World War. And I don't see how the Ukrainians, they'll put up a noble fight. They'll try to defend themselves. It will probably destroy the country. But I don't see how they can hold off the entire Russian army when you get to 130,000 plus troops. And that'll be sad. It'll be like the Nazis marching into Poland or into Czechoslovakia or taking over Austria in the 30s. It'll be a sad thing. And it will compel the rest of us then to have to
think about.
Can we should just spend an hour on this sometime discussing it?
Yeah, it's a deal. You know, I reported a lot on it, because what was happening there actually it affected the agriculture, like especially hard red winter wheat, and so it affected the agriculture part of it, and that was one of the big reasons I reported on it, because with the drought in Brazil and Argentina and a possible war going over there, prices were skyrocketing. Our feed that we buy from the feed store here is just going up dramatically, and it's just, it's a crazy world we live in.
Yes.
Well, you took in some important time out of your schedule to talk with me today. And Representative Lucas, you don't know how important and how blessed I am to have you on the show today. And you're welcome on this show today or anytime you want to. And Casey, she's just all sitting over there with a big smile on her face. She's got Frank Lucas talking.
I look forward to our next conversation. Remember, you got to be 25 to run for Congress.
All right. I'll definitely remember that.
Absolutely.
Okay. You have a great day, sir, and be safe.
We'll visit again. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Well, that was U.S. Representative Frank Lucas. He's from Cheyenne, Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah, he's in District 3. I hope I got that right. But anyway, he's our representative from this area. Matter of fact, he's got a pretty good size. Google it up and find out what you can do. But he's got a pretty good size. He goes around Tulsa, around Oklahoma City. He covers mostly rural Oklahoma. But he's been in there in the job. And for the most part, he's did a great job for us. And I have not any complaints so as a voter. So I know a lot of people do and some people don't and all this. But that's why we have elections. Vote how you look at it. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about the grain markets, cattle markets. Casey, I got some stuff for you to look up and read to the people. And when we get back, we'll talk about it.
All right.
It's Jimmy and Casey on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. They're feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Was that like the highest official you've ever got to spoken to in the government?
Possibly, yeah.
Don't say President Biden.
No.
No. Anyway, Casey's going to hang on here with me a little bit. Right now, current weather is 26 degrees. Wind chill is at 11. The winds are out of the north at 27 miles an hour, gusting up to 37. And it's cold out there.
It's cold, Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. So I went over and checked the heifers this morning. I got 6 left. Well, now I got 5 left. And last night I checked them at 9 o'clock, and one of them had just had it. It looked like it was standing up and it was dry, so I drove away to leave them alone, and it started raining, and that rain was cold last night, and then the winter storm hit, the blizzard this morning. I went out there to check them. It was about 4:30. I found her finally with the spotlight, and she was laying there by it, so I drove on, left them alone, come back at daybreak, and the calf was laying out there by itself, and the mom had abandoned him.
Oh, my goodness.
So I picked him up and threw him in the front seat, and off to ICU at Dr. Taylor's we went. And so put him, he's in ICU, and Dr. Taylor texts, "This calf is doing well." So anyway, the way she wrote "this calf" means that that calf is bawling and annoying her in there in the vet clinic, if I was guessing right. But anyways, I had to take him because he did not look well when I picked him up. He was frozen. His legs were frozen. So, and I had to get to work. So Dr. Taylor got to mess with him. But grain futures are all over the board, but for the most part, they are good. As of 11 o'clock in Oklahoma, hard red winter wheat is $7.86. Corn's at $6.58. Milo's at $6.51. Soybeans at $15.23. And cotton's anywhere from $1.21, bouncing back and forth, $1.21 to $1.22. Also, before we go on with our some of our reporting, text me in how much rain you got at your place. I know looking at the map, for the most part, Roger Mills and Ellis County and parts of Western Dewey County, you guys did not get any, and I hate it because I think I had 1.5 inches at my house, 2.5 inches where the heifers are. Some people on the south side of Elk got 1 inch, and over there at Canute looked like they got in Custer County and Washita County, they got somewhere around 1.5 inches, somewhere in that neighborhood. Text me in how much rain you got, and on our next break, after we get back from the next break, we'll talk about it. Well, bean futures rose in overnight trading amid strong global demand for U.S. supplies, and wheat was up amid the ongoing Russia-Ukraine crisis. Exporters reported sales of 132,000 metric tons of soybeans to China, and for delivery in the 22-23 marketing year, according to the USDA. On Tuesday, the USDA said exporters reported 101,000 metric tons of soybeans to Mexico, about half for delivery in the current marketing year and the rest in the 22-23. The agency will release its weekly export sales today. Yeah, they'll be out today. They're probably already out. I hadn't checked my updated my stuff. Well, anyway, wheat futures were higher overnight, though they saw modest gains. Russia has said it will respond to U.S. proposals offered in a bid to prevent an attack on Ukraine. Moscow has said that some of the 100,000 troops it has ordered or has on the border with Ukraine have pulled back and returned to their bases, but global leaders express they're being a little skeptic, I think. But I know with the modern technology we know, they know if a dog goes back from the border. So they know if they're moving back or not. They're just playing this stuff. NATO said Russia continues to build its forces near the border. Russia said it wants guarantees that Ukraine will not be allowed to join NATO, a proposal that was rejected. Still, talks are ongoing in attempts to prevent war. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 11 cents to 16 and 2 cents a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and soy meal was up 5.30 to 4.52.60 a short ton, and soybean oil futures lost 0.09 cents to 66.95 cents a pound. Corn futures for delivery rose a quarter to $6.46 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery added 3 cents to $7.89 and a quarter cents a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 4 and a quarter to $8.16 a bushel. So anyway, the prices are up there good, and we did get some rain, and hopefully this rain does some good. But Casey's going to report a little bit about some ethanol production and some bad weather all over the United States right now.
All righty, let's get into it. Ethanol output jumped up in the week that ended on February the 11th, while inventories also increased, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel rose to an average of 1.009 million barrels a day last week, up from 994,000 barrels the previous week, the EIA said in a report. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, output rose to an average of 949,000 barrels a day. That's up from 939,000 barrels a day a week earlier, the agency said. Gulf Coast output surged to an average of 25,000 barrels a day from 24,000 barrels a week prior. That was the entirety of the grains. East Coast production was unchanged week to week at 12,000 barrels a day, the EIA said. Rocky Mountain output declined 14,000 barrels a day on average from 15,000 barrels a week earlier. West Coast production was down to an average of 8,000 barrels a day from 9,000 barrels the previous week, the agency said. Ethanol stockpiles were also up for the week, rising to 2.25.583. If I can get my numbers right.
You sound like Butch on the Oil and Gas Show. He can't never get them numbers right.
I just can't get them right. All right, let's try this again. 25.483 million.
There you go.
Barrels in the 7 days through February the 11th. That's up from 24.799 million barrels a day the previous week, the EIA said in its report.
How's the weather?
Yeah, let's talk about the weather. It's cold.
It is.
That's a summary. It's cold.
I'm glad it's just going to last 24 hours. That's all I can tell you.
Well, let's hope so. We're Western Oklahoma. It may stick around.
You never know. Nope, you never know.
So the winter storms are moving through a wide chunk of land stretching from northern Oklahoma all the way to northeast to Maine, according to the National Weather Service maps. In eastern Kansas, a winter storm warning is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening, as up to 6 inches of snow and a glaze of ice are expected. The NWS said in a report early this morning, winds will gust as high up as 40 miles an hour.
It's blowing.
Blowing and drifting snow could significantly reduce the visibility, especially on Thursday. The hazardous wintry conditions will have the greatest impact on Thursday morning commute, the NWS said. The combination of gusty winds and the weight of snow and ice could bring down tree branches and leads to scattered power outages.
Yeah. See, it's not easy, is it?
It's not easy.
Yeah, it got it. And then, it's going to blow today. Luckily, we got good company, Rural Electric Company around here in North Fork. They do a jam-up job of keeping our electricity going, and because it'd be a little chilly without some electricity. Well, you were on Tradio this morning.
I was.
So you and Drew both screwed up pretty bad today.
We did.
Yeah, you did.
How so?
Drew was talking about 287 Highway that goes through Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yes.
It's 283.
Okay, well, we got our numbers wrong there, too. Today's just not a numbers day.
So anyway, you need to correct him on it tomorrow if you come in tomorrow. Or when he comes back, say, man, I was just re-listening to Tradio. You screwed up. That's 283, not 287. You know, he's Mr. Perfect. And so anyway, we're going to take a break. And be right back. And we got a couple more breaks to take, so we got to hurry up and go. Would you read that deal off from the Chucks?
The Chucks?
Yep.
All right. So, Jimmy, what do you think is for lunch?
Chuck dogs.
Absolutely. Well, you know, here's a good idea. How about you call in to order your whole crew and some of the best breakfasts or grilled onion deluxe cheeseburgers, around with fries, of course.
Oh, yeah.
In honor of Charlie Cock, the owners Travis and Miranda Stout will serve free Chuck Dogs on February the 17th from 11 to 2.
And that's today.
That's today.
Free. I mean, it don't get any cheaper.
Yep. You got 2 hours. Well, hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and a half.
That was close.
Yeah, it's close. Anyways.
Chuck's Place is open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. for breakfast and 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for lunch. You can call them at 580-303-4737. That's 580-303-4737. And they're located at 308 North Van Buren in Elk City.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 14th. 2,650 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 484 brought 199.50. 19 at 590 brought 192.50. 31 at 763 brought 161. 11 at 859 brought 150. 16 at 1020 brought 143.50. 28 head of heifers at 329 brought 210.50. 8 at 540 brought 157. 15 at 690 brought 153.50. 35 at 740 brought 147. 54 at 782 brought 148. Butcher cows were 10 to 101, butcher bulls were 83 to 120, pairs brought 1825 to 1855. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mine Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Where'd my weather go? You got weather up over there?
Yes, I do.
Tell us the current stuff's going on.
We're looking at 24 degrees.
All right. What's the wind?
We're looking at 43 miles an hour.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, you bring up the Long Ranger if you want to. I think it's, you scroll down, you'll find it. And when we get back from this next break, you'll give out the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for me.
All right.
You want to do that?
Sure.
But first, I got to reply to some of these text messages I got.
Absolutely.
The one was about how you and Drew messed up today on the highway number. So, yeah, we got that straight, right?
Yep, and we got it straight.
Yeah, and then Audie, he had an inch and two-tenths between Sarah and Eric. And then I had a question. Why do you think the mama left her baby? Because she was cold. Because she was right on top of that hill. And she is a heifer. And sometimes, man, the heifers, I think, either get scared. They're first-time mamas. Some mamas are dedicated to protecting their baby, are born naturally. Some of them you got to train to, and this is one of these I'm going to have to train to be a good mama. I've trained 6 in the last 2.5 weeks, and so far I've been successful and been good. I hadn't had to force them to give them milk or nothing like that, but anyway, so it's been good. So that's the only, I don't know, she was cold. She got that 2.5 inches of cold rain on her. The snow was coming down. She was miserable. She was taking care of the baby last night. And be honest with you, I have no clue why she just left that baby this morning. And so, and then Mr. Harrell, I did you right on Drew in 287. And then somebody else texted in, do you know how much rain they got? And not understanding it quietly, but yes, I understand the watershed fills up Lake Altus because that's the North Fork Conservation District that runs the North Fork that runs from McLean all the way through by Shamrock, by Eric and Hex, and all the way down by my house, all the way to Retrop. Yes, I understand that's the one that fills up Lake Altus. I don't know if we got any runoff or not. It's pretty dry out there, but who got rain was blessed to get it, and hopefully next week we get some more widespread rain where everybody gets it, because I realize we all got it. We all need it anyway. Well, a little hot news from North Dakota State University. They conducted a beef tenderness study for the e-commerce company. And the reason why they did that is people always bragging on how the Wagyu meat is so much better than the beef we raise. North Dakota figured it out. It's not fake news. It's just as good as what they said. North Dakota State University's Meat Science Laboratory, a facility at the University's College of Agriculture, recently worked with Better Fed Beef to conduct a study measuring the tenderness of its beef. Better Fed, a national e-commerce company, offers a specialized product, certified ONYA beef, which the company sources directly from farmers and producers to sell on its online storefront. The company recently approached the North Dakota State University for their assistance in conducting a third-party unbiased study comparing their ribeye steak against the American Wagyu ribeye steak. Dr. Maddock, professor of the university and manager of its meat science lab, facilitated and executed the study. It's rewarding to have private companies come to us for our expertise and resources, says Dr. Maddock. North Dakota State is a nationally recognized research university with incredible capabilities, especially in the meat and animal sciences, and we are happy to assist companies like Better Fed Beef. 10 purebred America Wagyu ribeye steaks from various online retailers and 12 Better Fed Beef certified ONYA ribeye steaks were given to North Dakota State to conduct and compare analysis. They analyzed them all right. The facility performed a tenderness evaluation using the Warner Bradsler shear force protocol recognized and used by the USDA. The positive for consumers is the tenderness can be objective measures by performing the WBSF test. Well, in all bottom line, this is a long story. It's true that Better Fed Beef ribeyes were just as good as the Wagyu ones. So there you have it. Hey, but the price of a Wagyu is like $90 a pound. The rest of them's about like $22 a pound. So just use your own imagination. Well, got one more break to take. When we come back, I'll have you the Hobart Farm. Well, no, Casey's going to have you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. And we'll finish up the show. Hope you guys enjoyed U.S. Representative Frank Lucas. He was pretty professional today.
He was.
And he knows what's going on out here. Him and his wife farm and ranch not too far from here. So it was good to have him on today. So we'll be back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 with Casey and Jimmy.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, Casey and I are back, and she is going to give the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
Alrighty, so we are looking at a temperature of 24 at the current, wind speed up to 43 miles per hour. The chill, we're looking at 6.
It's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
All right, for this afternoon, we're looking at mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 30. Windy with a north wind of 25 to 30 miles per hour, decreasing to 15 to 20 miles per hour. Wind gusts could get as much as 45 for this afternoon.
I was outside a while ago. It's probably already there.
Probably. We're Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, what else? If you don't learn to water ski on Whitecaps, you didn't learn to water ski.
Right? So. Tonight, we're looking at clear with a low around 19 degrees. North wind, 6 to 11 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Friday, we're looking at sunny with a high near 52. Southwest wind, 8 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour. Friday night, clear with a low around 27. South wind, 3 to 8 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny with a high near 62. Light and variable winds becoming south, 10 to 15 miles per hour in the morning. Winds could gust as high as 23 miles per hour. Saturday night, clear with a low around 38. Sunday, sunny with a high near 72. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 43. Washington's birthday, mostly sunny with a high near 72.
It's golfing day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 47. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 15. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 33.
It's going to get cold another time.
It's going to get cold again.
Well, I got you some results from the Hobart Stockyard sales yesterday. Market's great, guys. That's all I got to tell you. Steers weighing anywhere from 200 in the 200 range. Let's go. We're bringing up to 212.50 per hundred weight. 300 to 399. We're bringing up to 232.50 per hundred weight. 400 to 499. We're bringing up to 224 per hundred weight. And the 5 to 599 weights, we're bringing up to $1.96 per pound. Or 196 per 100, whichever way you want to look at that. And then 600 to 699, we're bringing 180, 150, up to 180, 150. Butcher cows, up to $81 per 100 weight. Butcher bulls, up to 117.50 per 100 weight. Bred cows, up to $1,500. And look at this, pears, we're bringing up to $1,800. I noticed Tuesday at Woodward's cow and bull sale that the pears had creeped up and the bred cows had creeped up a little bit. Had a little birdie tell me this morning on the phone that he honestly believes with this rain and tomorrow we're going to wake up out of this cold and the sun's going to be shining. And for the people who got the rain, not everybody got the rain, but some people got the rain and they're blessed to have got it. They're going to be inspired. And they've been getting some rain and stuff up north and people out west. They've been in that major drought for the last couple of years. They sold a lot of their cattle off, so they don't have anything. So guess what they got to do? They got to buy some more. And so if we're lucky enough, if you're lucky enough to have a lot of bred heifers or heifers around or cows, you might get to sell them and make a little money finally on your cattle. So today, the Woodward Livestock Auction calf sale is going on. I'll have you some results for that tomorrow. Tomorrow, Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Go down and tell Mr. Brandon Hickey I said hi and tell him that I sent you, and you might get a free cup of coffee, which I think it's free anyway. So anyway, it sounds good. Anyway, tell Brandon hi. And then Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be happening at there at East Clinton on I-40. And we just got some... get through today, get through all this weather. But meanwhile, you know what's happening? with the beef exports?
What's happening?
They're shattering records. U.S. beef exports greatly exceeded previous volume and value records in 2021, surpassing $10 billion for the first time ever. And that's where we send beef to other countries. And they're liking our beef. And they should be. We're taking a lot more focus on how we're growing our cattle nowadays and how we're feeding them. But according to the year-end data, not UN, but the year-end data released by the USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation, beef exports finished slightly below the record volume reached in 2020, but set a new value record topping $8 billion for the first time. So that's just $2 billion less than the beef. December beef exports totaled 121,429 metric tons. That's up 1% from a year ago, while value climbed 33% to $991 million, the third largest month on record. These results pushed 2021 volume to 1.44 million metric tons, up 15% from a year ago and 7% from above the record set in 2018. Export value soared to $10.58 billion, up 38% from 2020 and shattering the previous record, which was also in 2018, by 27%. Beef exports to Korea, Japan, China, Hong Kong each exceeded $2 billion, set new volume and value records in Korea and China, Hong Kong, and a value record in Japan. Exports also set a new record in Taiwan, reached new heights in Central America, Colombia, and Indonesia. Global exports of U.S. beef variety meat also set a new value of $1.09 billion. Man, I just want that $1 billion and then I'll retire. You can have my job on the radio. Think you can do it?
Maybe.
You're doing a pretty good job. For a high school kid just coming in here and sitting down with me, you're doing pretty good. You're doing way better than I. Maybe you can pronounce some of these words for me that I can't pronounce, and everybody will quit laughing at me. But I think that's why most people listen to my show. They're waiting for my next screw up. So anyway, we'll see. The beef export results are truly remarkable, especially consider the COVID-related obstacles in the global food service sector and all the supply side and logistic challenges faced by the U.S. industry, which in my opinion should have never happened, but that's just my opinion. Obviously, our large Asian markets accounted for much of the growth, but it really takes broad-based global demand to reach these impressive levels. So this is a success story. It's just not about Korea, Japan, and China, but also a strong performance in Taiwan, excellent growth in Central and South America, and a rebound in Mexico and Southeast Asia. So there we go. We got that going on, and that's, I love it. That means the prices, everything's going to go up. Well, I think I got time to go over this real quick from one of my favorite friends at OSU University. He is a beef cattle specialist. And that's Professor Paul Beck, and he does not like being called professor, but I'm pretty sure he's in class right now, so he's not listening. So he'll come back and get me. If you want to watch Mr. Beck, if you'll get up on Saturday morning super early, I know that's hard for high school kids to do, but get up and watch Sunup TV. That's put on by OSU. He is always on there. And he's a smart cat. The environmental impact of the beef industry has received increased attention from the public because of perceptions of its effect on climate change. That's where AOC come in with these farts, you know, and she said the cattle farting caused all this greenhouse gas emissions. Well, anyways, it's not true. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, and ag, forestry, and other land uses produce about 44% of the methane, with 46% of that coming from ruminant animals. You know what ruminant animals is?
Can't say I do.
Okay, so for instance, cow has four stomachs.
Okay.
And that's what they go through there and do that. Oh, man, we got a call coming in hot off the press, wanting to know about this AOC stuff. But, yeah, that's That's there's the stomach, the digestive system. And I probably didn't even say that right, but you can Google it. In the United States, agriculture contributes to 9% of the total greenhouse gas emissions, with transportation, industry, and electrical sectors producing 79% of the total greenhouse gases. Of the 9% of the greenhouse emissions attributed to agriculture, 60% is attributed to animal agriculture. 5.4% of total emissions, and 60% of that is methane from all the ruminant animal agriculture, which that's only 3.2% of the total U.S. emissions, and they're blaming it all on the cow. So what do you get when you get 100% minus 3.2? Like 96.8, yeah, somewhere in there.
Something like that.
Well, that's, the cows ain't causing this. So anyway, if you guys want to, you can get on Cow-Calf Corner. I'm out of time. You can get on Cow-Calf Corner. Google that at OSU Extension, and you will look up Cow-Calf Corner, methane production and grazing beef systems, and you can read this whole report from Paul Beck. It's very detailed, and he knows what he's talking about. So anyway, well, thanks for joining me on the show today. You hear that music?
I do.
That's when Aaron says, "Jimmy, shut up." So anyway, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, I will. We had a great time, and I'm glad you got to talk to Mr. Lucas. You can go back to school tomorrow and say, "I talked to you yesterday."
Anyway,
yeah. So anyway, you guys have a great day. You've been listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless and be safe.